Let us begin by hearing the voice of Mary Magdalene. 7 demons possessed my soul. 7 Marys lived inside of me. 1 Mary was chaste, another carnal. A Mary elated, a Mary tormented. A frightened Mary, a lone one, and one that hated God. I stood on the hill throughout the day, watching the procession to Golgotha, seeing the crosses set in the ground. I heard from afar the words that he said. He pardoned the thief at his side, begged for a sip of water. I came to the garden alone to mourn the death of Jesus. I wanted to sit by the tomb. I felt a special sorrow for the one who had healed my troubled soul, who had treated me as a person. We are almost at the end of these Sundays that follow the Feast of the Epiphany. More than likely, everyone has put their wise men away by now. Those wise men followed a star. God was manifested to them, shown to them, revealed to them by an awesome light shining in the night sky, and they looked up for guidance. Mary looked face to face with Jesus, face to face with God, though she did not yet know that as she came to the garden. Nor did the disciples and the followers packed into Simon's house know that, not yet, as they too were face to face with Jesus, hearing him, touching him, seeing, smelling him even. And speaking of face-to-face encounters, how astounded Simon's mother-in-law must have been that day, lying in bed, ill with a fever. It doesn't sound like she was near death or in crisis, but darn, she was too sick to get up and offer hospitality to the men who have come to the house with Simon and Andrew. How surprising to her that they bring the man called Jesus to her bedside. How surprising that he took her hand and guided her to stand up. How surprising that the fever's gone. Everything is back to normal. Or is it? For at sundown, here comes the whole city gathered around the door, clamoring for healing from this man called Jesus, clamoring to be touched and made whole. Healing stories abound in our scriptures. We're familiar with some of the stories of Jesus, the healing stories, as he healed by word, by touch, even from a distance. But Jesus did not heal everyone in Galilee of their ailments, did he? What about those who may not have been able to get close to the door of the house? What about those searching for Jesus early the next morning, only to discover that he had left? Can you imagine their disappointment and maybe even their despair? If their expectations were that everyone needed healing, it's going to get healed. They were sorely disappointed. Why was I left out? What's wrong with me? Aren't I just as deserving as those others? Simon's mother-in-law, she only had a fever. My illness is more serious than that. I can't get up and go to work and earn my living. Healing stories often raise similar questions in us. I've known a few people who have experienced unexplained healing, and you may also. One that I remember is Zeke. He was from the congregation in Winslow, Arizona, St. Paul's in Winslow Episcopal Church, Winslow, Arizona, where our young family worshiped for about 10 years. Zeke was diagnosed with a malignant tumor in his thumb. And he brought that concern to our healing service, at which, of course, we prayed for and with him. When he went to the doctor the next week to have his scheduled surgery, the tumor was gone. Hooray and hallelujah. But again, what about those of us and our friends and our family members who don't experience that kind of miraculous healing? Is something wrong with us? Is something wrong with them? in the way we prayed, in the strength of our faith. Often our first response is, like I'm sure those of Jesus' time was, but, what about, and how come, and why not? Faith is mentioned in some of the Jesus healing stories, but not all of them. The people surrounding the door that day, they did not yet have the faith that we talk about, faith in Jesus as the crucified and resurrected Son of God. They didn't know the rest of the story yet. Faith in Jesus as the crucified and resurrected Son of God, as Emmanuel, God with us. They came simply because the news was spreading like wildfire. We have a healer in our midst. Healing was important to Jesus. He was a healer, as were others in his day. But healing and casting out demons were not the primary focus of his ministry. What was Jesus' reply when Simon and his companions found him early that morning after having to hunt for him? Jesus, we're told, had been praying, and even after hearing, "Everyone is searching for you," he answered, "Let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And we are told, and he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Proclaiming the message. The message. Proclaiming the message. That is what I came out to do. And what is the message? Simply this. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus proclaims the message. Jesus is the message. The manifestation of God right before their eyes. God in the world, touching, speaking, healing, forgiving, restoring the lives of individual people, and ultimately showing them a new way of being with each other. The way of love, peace, compassion, justice, as God intended from the beginning of time. And God before our eyes also. Darn it, not in so direct a way as face to face. But yes, before our eyes also. Jesus' healings were a beginning. The beginning of demonstrating to the people who God is and wants to be for them. Not just in words, but in actions. Essentially saying, look, my actions are signs of God in the world, in the flesh, face to face. God sees you and touches you, cares for you, loves you. God can bring you to health and wholeness. The power of God is in with me, Jesus, incarnate in the world, at hand, right before your eyes. This was and still is God's power manifested in God's Son to restore the fallen world to that at oneness with the Creator with which it had begun. Not to restore to perfect health, but to restore our relation to God, our at oneness, our trust, and our faith, forever and always acknowledging our humanness. God is God. God is in charge. We are the beloved of God. Our prayers for healing are an acknowledgement of that relationship and a practice of that trust and faith, acknowledging silently or out loud and sometimes to another or a group as we do each Sunday that yes, we believe that God's grace is working among us. God is with us in our times of need. God's love is near. And at times when life is dark and uncertain, confusing, and full of doubt and despair, those prayers are what I call a practice. Practicing our faith, acting as if, going through the motions, hanging on as best we can. Then we too become sacraments, as Mary Magdalene did, outward and visible signs of the inward and invisible grace of God. Face to face with the world around us, we make visible, make real the message of Jesus. God is with me. God is with you. God is with us. I came to the garden alone to mourn the death of Jesus. I wanted to sit by the tomb. I felt a special sorrow for the one who had healed my troubled soul, who had treated me as a person. Mary was treated as a person by Jesus. Simon Peter's mother-in-law was treated as a person by Jesus. People whom God desired to restore to God's self, God was with them. This is the promise we can hold on to also for ourselves and for the world. This is the promise, the good news we can live and proclaim. The kingdom of God is at hand. God is with us. Amen.